Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to For Your Benefit. As the lead-in said, NITP's presentation of. And today is the first day that we're going to spend with the open season discussion of healthcare plans and the like. And we have this morning with us, and we were just talking. I don't know if this is the seventh or the eighth year that Tom has been with us, but Tom Bernatavitz. Did I pronounce that right?
That's perfect. Thank
you. Okay, good. President of Federal Plans with Aetna. And Tom's going to be here to talk about Aetna's new things, old things, and different things, right?
That's right.
All right. And to join us is guest co-host John Elliott, retired federal employee, retired seminar presenter, still active with emails and the like. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. And, of course, Tom.
Okay. All righty, Tom. Tell us about how today's economic environment would impact the way a federal employee should or is looking at healthcare options.
Well, federal employees, to say the least, have been through a lot over the last couple of years with pay freezes, the recent furloughs and shutdown. I think now more than ever, it's imperative that they review their health plan choices and seek out the lower cost, highest quality plans that are available to them. There are a lot of choices that federal employees have. Unfortunately, very few take the time to analyze those choices and
informed decisions
regarding the types of plans that are available to them. Less than 5% of all employees switch plans each year, even though the federal government opens up their choices without any pre-existing condition requirement or anything like that for a full 4-week period each year.
Okay, and the importance to look at the costs just from the cost standpoint, there really is very little tax benefit for what they pay in a premium other than what they can shelter. So in other words, if you're spending X dollars and you're not getting a tax benefit from it, you're saving a dollar. If you're saving a dollar and you get a tax benefit, it's less of a benefit, but nonetheless still a benefit.
Yeah, that's correct. Active employees' premiums are paid with pre-tax dollars. Retirees still are not. There also is one plan that we have available that's the largest in the federal program that really is a taxed advantage plan. I don't want to get way into the weeds here as we kick things off, but it's called a high deductible plan, health plan with a health savings account.
How'd you know I was going there? But we can go there later, like you
okay.
said. All righty, so what's new with Aetna?
Well, Aetna is one of the only companies now that is offering medical, dental, and for the first time, a vision plan through the Federal Employee Dental and Vision Insurance Program. So we're really excited about launching a vision plan in 2014. Office of Personnel Management opened up the Federal Employee Dental and Vision Insurance Program, FedVIP, to potential new carriers for 2014. And Aetna was already a dental plan in that space, and we were awarded the only new vision contract. We're very excited about that.
So now, could it be almost like one-stop shopping?
It could be. It could be. The vision plan offering is we think, the premier vision plan in the program. We have two options available there, a high and a standard option. The high gives you coverage for glasses every year, standards every other year. The high also has a higher allowance for contact lenses. The plan gives members access to the top retail providers in the country like Lens Crafters, Pearle Vision, Target, Sears Optical, and JCPenney, as well as through many eye doctors. The plan covers eye exams, glasses, including designer frames. We're the only vision plan that covers designer plans in the program, as well as prescription sunglasses. So it really is the Cadillac of vision plans in the FedVit program.
Okay, so what does an employee, if you will, or a federal employee look for when they evaluate plans? So we listen to Tom for 50 minutes, and then you know that others will follow. But is there a place they can go where they can kind of put them side by side, or do they learn the most that they can from the show, and then they place these things next to each other?
OPM's website is opm.gov, and go to the insurance and health insurance, obviously, and they have an analysis of all the plans, including customer satisfaction surveys, costs and coverages. So everything you need to know to make an evaluation, compare plans, and decide which is best for you is at the website. You can also, if you're an employee, go to, if your agency has a health fair. They still have health fairs, Tom, these days?
They do. They do. As a matter of fact, our company is covering almost 2,000 separate health fair events throughout the country over the course of the next couple of months. So that's definitely a good spot to talk to somebody face-to-face in person about your options. But by far and large, the vast majority of inquiries into new plans and actually even inquiries onto our website comes from that opm.gov website that John mentioned. So that really is kind of the central source, non-biased, objective place to get your information.
Yeah, there's also a very good publication written by any updates it every year, obviously. Checkbook's Guide to Federal Employee Health Benefits. That's close to the title, if it's not exact title, and it's written by Walt Francis, and he's been doing this for years, and that's also an excellent source. Only costs $10, but a lot of agencies provide his book for free. They buy a supply. Yeah.
He'll be on in 2 or 3 weeks.
He's always on. Once or twice during open season, but his book, I don't know the website by heart, but if you Google Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Benefits, you'll find the website easily enough, and you can go to that website and buy the book online. I think local bookstores in the Washington area typically carry it. If you don't like reading stuff off a screen, you can actually get the book. And you can get the book sent to you in the mail, I'm sure, too. So that's another excellent source of plan comparisons. And I think, I know that within the book, Walt presents a series of questions, and you answer the questions, and it'll steer you toward what plan would be best for you based on your responses. So you even get that help. There's also another website, plansmartchoice.com, which does the same thing. It evaluates all the health plans and produces a recommendation based on your responses, if I'm not mistaken, but I believe they have that feature at their website as well. So there's a lot of informational sources that are easy to access. And
The bottom line is, to cut to the chase around the most important factor in picking a plan, it really comes down to price. We've done all kinds of surveys throughout the years, and price is the fundamental reason as to why people are provoked to switch from the plan that they're in or to join a plan that they're not in. And we have four health medical plans that are really affordable to employees and retirees in the DC area, that on a biweekly basis range from a low of $55 per month or per pay period to a high of $75 per pay period. They're very unique and different options, but they're all very affordable, you know, when it comes to analyzing that number one factor, which is price.
We have a number of folks that listen outside the Beltway and actually outside the country. So when shopping, there could be the same plan but a different rate depending on whether they're in City A, City B, City D?
Three of the four are pretty much offered nationwide. Three of the four plans that Aetna offers in the D.C. area are also available to 97% of the population throughout the country. Those three are called the consumer-driven health plan, the high-deductible health plan that I glazed over earlier, and something that's relatively new called the Aetna Value Plan, which is a low-cost plan that has out-of-network coverage that's got some neat features associated with it. And it also gives members in that plan access to our preferred provider organization network throughout the country.
Okay. Could we just do the definitions for me and hopefully some of the people listening? What's a consumer-driven plan?
A consumer-driven health plan is fundamentally, it's a plan that puts the power of choice in the hands of the consumer. It comes with something called a fund. A fund is an amount of money that's set aside to help you pay for your health care. In our plan, the fund amount is $1,000 per single, $2,000 per family. And that fund is really designed to help you become engaged in accessing those dollars for, you know, routine type care, non-emergency care. The idea is that if you use our network provider, our doctor, you'll get you'll access care at a lower dollar amount, meaning less dollars will be used from your fund. Now, $1,000 and $2,000 isn't going to cut it if you have a major condition. So after the fund is exhausted, there's a deductible, which is $1,000 and $2,000 before you access the entire comprehensive set of benefits, which covers in-network care 85% and your share is 15%. So that fundamentally is what a consumer-driven health plan is. Provides you a stipend of fund money up front to help you become engaged in making decisions and selection around accessing care.
It sounds like a good candidate for consumer-driven fund would be somebody who's in good health.
Yes, for the most part, that's true. And somebody who's interested and engaged in making choices around their health care, very unlike an HMO or health maintenance organization, where individuals in those plans generally just want to pay the copay and not worry about anything else. They go to a strict set of providers and just
so
pay
the consumer. Driven fund would somebody in consumer driven fund would be encouraged to therefore shop for the best deal. Is that
that's
correct?
The idea? That's right.
The idea.
Exactly.
Could in the consumer driven plan, if I'd like to go to Dr. A, that in network, if you will, but I also see Dr. B, mm-hmm. but it's not in network. Could that work under what we just talked about, where there's this pool for Dr. B?
It could, but Dr. A may cost your fund $100. Dr. B may cost $150.
Okay.
So by going to Dr. B, you're going to be exhausting your fund that much quicker.
Okay. But I could, you know, in today's world, oftentimes you have several docs depending on what your issues are.
So like me, who's had my general practitioner, if you will. I think she's an internist, but whatever. My doctor, my primary doctor, I've been with for years. I expect to be with her indefinitely. So I'm not going to shop around. I'm just going to go to her. So maybe consumer-driven, maybe I pick another one of your plans that includes her, of course, which I bet it does. But if you got this favorite doctor, regardless of what he or she charges, yeah, maybe you need to go to one of your other plans or some other plan.
Right, and we talked about price being the prevailing factor in health plan decision making. Second is my doctor in your network, and
sure.
There are a lot of variety of plans. that Aetna offers and others offer that provide out-of-network benefits. You're always, always going to be better off, though, if your doctor participates in the network. You'll save hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars if your doctor, hospital, health delivery system participates in a plans given network.
You didn't mention coverage. You mentioned cost. I've heard for years that there's really no bad plan in the FEHBP. Are coverages... I know they differ. We know that. But are they essentially covering what you need to be covered? All of the plans more or less cover what you need covered in a similar way?
Prior to the Affordable Care Act, which is really coming into full flourishing January 14, FEHBP plans were always monitored by the Office of Personnel Management in terms of their catastrophic out-of-pocket maximum.
Right.
That's the maximum amount of dollars that you would pay before the plan would have to pay 100%. But they were, they were starting to creep up into the $10,000, $15,000 range. By virtue of the Affordable Care Act, I believe that the maximum out-of-pocket catastrophic max can be $6,000 and $12,000. So there's going to be a limit on the amount of exposure any individual in any one of these health plans will have, be it Aetna or not, going forward, where the plan after that will pay 100%. So, there's a lot of variety underneath the catastrophic maximums, and our catastrophic maximums are all below those maximum thresholds.
And what are yours?
They range from like 2,000. Single 4,000 family up to like 5,000, 10,000, depending on the type of plan that we offer.
I see.
Okay. Now, this is just me. Who picks up the tab? In other words, if now the catastrophic can't exceed X I hate the term Obamacare, but let's call it Obamacare. Affordable health care. How about that? That's much more diplomatic. Who's picking up the tab for all this? I mean, before it was the individual, and I can understand where that would be sensitive, but now it's, okay, my catastrophic isn't going to be more than X. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Well, there's a whole variety of plan mandates. There's a variety of taxes and fees that health insurers are going to have to pay. There's provisions around dependent age, where dependent age has been increased, which all adds more cost into the healthcare system. And a lot of those costs are being added as a result of the Affordable Care Act. Essentially, what it comes down to, Bob, is that those costs are built into the premiums that individuals are going to have to pay going forward. So in essence, the premium costs are rising as a result of the mandates that we have to adhere to as a result of the law, which requires those mandates.
Okay. And I know from an intake, not to drag income tax into all this, because this only impacts people with significant income. There's effectively a tax on income that would go into the pot to help fund the Affordable Health Care Act. Interesting that it's primarily on dividends and interest if your income exceeds a certain level. And there are some other ones. Anyway, let's keep tax out of this. Sorry, guys, and you all listening. So when somebody is looking for this and they become befuddled, where do they go? Can they call? Can they access? I'm certain you have a website, and I'm certain you got a call center. What are they?
The website is www.aetnafeds.com, and the toll-free number is 877-459-6604.
One more
time. Again, that website, aetnafeds.com, and the number is 877-459-6604.
Okay, and if somebody calls, should they have any, let's say they already have you. and they just wanted to be certain to stay with you, what should they have in front of them? And I'm sure the call centers get calls and they go, I can't answer that because I don't have enough information. But if they already use it, and I'd imagine they can just key up and the profile would come out on the screen.
Yeah, they should have their member ID available if they can. If not, we'll find them, you know, through their last name and some other sources. But member ID would be the quickest way to gain access to their files.
Okay, and if they have another provider, now I'll ask all the providers this, but if they have another provider, if they call in, would they be able to say, I have X, and I'm looking at yours, what's my plus, what's my minus? Can they do that on the phone?
Well, under the guidelines established by the Office of Personnel Management, we are prohibited from comparing our plans to other plans. Individuals have to do that on their own, but we can supply them with all the facts that they could possibly want relative to the different plan options that are available through Aetna, depending on where they live.
And as John mentioned, OPM has a nice site, and then they have these other ones that actually you can run programs.
Right. You can do your own comparisons. And as I said, the Walt Francis book and the Plan Smart Choice, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while since I looked at them, can actually, through your responses to their questions, recommend a plan. I've used at least Walt's in years past, and it recommended a plan I never took. It was one of the postal union plans. It ended up being Best, but I just didn't. But it's useful, I think, to look at those. And if you don't want to go that far, just go to opm.gov and look at their customer satisfaction surveys. And be sure and read the plan brochures that interest you. I don't know. Sometimes, I don't think it happens too often, but I knew an individual who came to me once and said, I didn't switch plan. I didn't look at plans. I just stayed with the one I'm with, which is what most people do. They're on autopilot. And lo and behold, something wasn't covered that he had heretofore been covered that he needed, and his plan dropped that coverage. And had he gone to another plan, he could have, as he found out too late after open season, that he could have maintained that coverage with another plan. So
OPM added a requirement on all insurance carriers' plan brochures that you mentioned, John, in requiring us to add a box in the upper right-hand corner of each plan brochure, which directs members of those plans to changes for the year. So if nothing else, you feel like you're happy with your plan, but you're kind of suspicious as to something that may have changed relative to that plan, and you don't want to read the entire 25, 30, 40-page, 100-page plan booklet, if you will. Just look at the cover, look at where you're being directed for changes for 2014, and that box will tell you where to go just to get a quick bullet list of what's different in 14 versus your 13 plan benefits.
It's a good idea.
And you mentioned you do 2,000 of these health fairs. Now, these health fairs not only are in the government agencies, they're also, for example, I work next to a county government seat. And last year I went over and I listened to Walt, there were probably about 8 companies represented there. I couldn't tell you Fetna was there or not. Sorry, Tom. I'm sure they were. So what I'm saying is this isn't all inside the Beltway.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, I think maybe roughly 25% of those health fairs are being covered inside the Beltway, if you will. And there are other sources like your local NARF chapter, that's for retirees, the National Association of Retired and Active Federal Employees. But they actually sponsor a great number of health fairs that the different insurance plans participate in.
Sometimes your local congressman will even get involved in bringing in people that can help you.
Yeah. All righty. So what can the individual do to contain cost or cost management, if you will? I know, brush your teeth, floss, and whatnot. But are there other things that they could monitor periodically, blood pressure? Do you find that people... I'm sure Aetna provides them the incentive to do it, but the real incentive is for the individual to do it, if for no other reason, better health, if they can do things to help.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, make sure you use the preventative services that the plan covers. That's the best way that to make sure that you won't have to pay for a high-cost serious illness down the road. The bottom line is that if you can do everything you can to keep from getting sick in the first place, the bottom line is you're going to save your health as well as a lot of money down the road. Those are things like your physical exam, your flu shot, your mammography screening, your colonoscopy, if you're the recommended age for a colonoscopy. All of those things are covered at 100%. There's no reason not to get them done. And, the bottom line is that those things will keep you healthier longer and save you a lot of money. As a matter of fact, a couple of our plans have what we call incentive credits associated with them. For example, that low-cost value plan has credits that pertain to filling out a health risk assessment, just answering some questions about yourself. Gives you a $50 credit. If you get a flu shot, you get a $50 credit. There are a whole host of things that if you proactively become engaged in the preventative measures, that are covered at 100%, you get credits that can be applied towards your deductible or co-insurance co-payments down the road. Those credits can total $200 for an individual and $400 for a family.
Okay, the folks listening, I bet, would like to call in and ask you a question. And we're at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Tom, you mentioned earlier that you're now in the vision sector of the plans. And there was somebody on the show a number of years ago, and this really struck me. I had no idea that looking, the ophthalmologist or optometrist, when looking at the eyes, can look at more than just the vision issues. They can determine other health issues that really aren't related to vision. I found that fascinating. They can tell by the blood vessels in the back of the eye and the like. So sometimes people say, I don't need a vision checkup. Well, if for no other reason. Do the vision checkup, but the side benefit is maybe there's something else going on that isn't so apparent.
Yeah, and if you're in glaucoma, for instance, is easily preventable and treatable, I was told by my optometrist a number of years ago, if you catch it early. So, yeah, I would go to your eye doctor once a year.
And, the exam under all of our health plans are paid at 100%. And you also get a whole array of vision benefits under our vision plan. The vision plan costs for the high option and the standard option are only a few dollars a month. The standard is $3 single. Per pay period, I'm sorry, $3 single, $6 single plus one, and $9 family for a comprehensive vision plan benefit.
So as a retiree, I'm going to pay something over $6 a month for just myself.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, to build on your point too, vision is an integral part of your health, and it can tip an individual or a provider off as to more serious conditions. Dental is as well. Aetna also has a really large dental plan offering in the FedVip program with comprehensive benefits covering, nearly 340,000 Fed members that has no deductible associated with it. It's offered at a very low and affordable cost. The biweekly cost for the dental plan is 14 single, 28 plus one, 43 for a family. And you get the same benefits whether you're in or out of network. We cover preventative dental care at 100%. For things like fillings, extractions, we cover those at 60%. We cover major restoration care, things like crowns, root canals, dentures at 40%. We're also covering implants in 2014 for the first time. We're adding adult orthodontia care in 2014 for the first time. So really a good solid dental plan that provides up to $4,000 in annual benefits for those who enroll in it.
Wow. You mentioned earlier health savings accounts. I think sometimes they're called high deductible healthcare savings account. And as soon as somebody hears high deductible, it's over. But how does it work, and how would one protect themselves from not being potentially hurt by the term high deductible? High deductible sounds like I'm going to get a lower premium so I can pay more later. I'm not saying that that's the way it works, but I know the perception gap. I mean, these things have been around for a fairly long period of time, and they weren't exactly coming off the shelves when they were first introduced.
7 years is how long they've been.
Here, but I mean, they were out in the public a long time, and people said, no, I don't want that.
Well, high deductible plans were. The health savings account aspect that's linked to a high deductible plan, you're right, John, was began
2006.
That's right.
Open season of 2006.
And we have the largest plan of that kind in the federal program. It's interesting, in the commercial marketplace, the private sector, huge percentages of employees are moving to those types of plans. But in the federal government space, probably only about 1% of all enrollees are in these high deductible plans with health savings accounts. It's basically an account paired with a high deductible plan. Premium you pay is lower, and the money you put into the account goes in tax-free, comes out tax-free, earns interest tax-free. And in most cases, like the Aetna plan, the plan also deposits money into a health savings account for you that you don't pay taxes on. It truly is a tax advantage solution for
you. And you have a number of things. It's your choice of what you want to have invested in, stocks, bonds, whatever you choose.
Let's pick this up after the caller asks their question. We have a caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am wondering whether somebody who's going to be retiring in January would have to make a decision on one of the visions and dental plans before retirement, or is that in order to take that coverage into retirement? So, in other words, I'm in the healthcare plan, but if I wanted to also include dental and vision coverage, do I have to make that decision before retiring, or can I do that after retiring?
Well, the answer is kind of yes and no. But if you want it for 2014 and you're going to retire December 31st through January 3rd, you're going to have to, this open season, choose your vision or dental plan?
Either one. It's just
I forgot which one, but it doesn't matter. The answer is the same for either. So you're going to have to choose that vision or dental plan this open season as an employee to have coverage for 2014. However, once you retire, you'll have the same open season opportunities that federal employees have, not only for dental and vision, but your regular health plan. So you can, at any time during open season in retirement, enter a dental or vision plan, and there's no five-year requirement like there is for your regular health plan. And you can postpone it, but if you want it for the next year, you're going to have to elect it this open season.
Okay, good. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. All righty, before... we had the call. It was a good call. We were talking about the health savings accounts, and I'm sorry that I kind of cut it short, but let's get back into it.
No, I'd love to talk about it. It is the highest value, most misunderstood plan that's available to federal employees. As I was noting earlier, it is and continues to be and has been since inception the lowest cost plan that we offer to federal employees. The cost is premium contribution cost is $55 single a pay period and $120 family. And as I was saying, the health savings account component of the plan is a tax-free bank account that that we set up for you to help you pay for your health care. So for a single, we set up an account that has $750 deposited throughout the year for a single and $1,500 for a family. As John was saying, you can also deposit additional funds on your own that go in tax-free that can be used to cover health expenses. So you can, you know, if your agency can take a pre-tax payroll deduction, you can deposit up to $2,550 single before taxes, $5,050 family. That's that coupled with what the plan puts in can have you realize $3,300 single and $6,550 family for 2014, where you can use those dollars for the rest of your life and for a beneficiary's life after that to cover any qualified medical expense. So the money never goes away once it goes in.
Let's hit that hard.
Okay.
So it's unlike the flexible spending account. You don't have to spend this. And in fact, sometimes it behooves you not to spend it because it's an IRA on top of another IRA right. If you want it.
And remember, you're choosing whatever you want to invest in. Yeah. So yeah, it's a great deal, and it's as Tom mentioned, it's vastly underused by federal employees, and you ought to take a look at that.
And let me talk for a second about – because, okay, so now we're kind of making people's eyes glaze over a little bit about the tax benefits associated with this fund, this account, money coming in from you, money coming in from us. But – so what if you get sick, okay, because you need health – you know, this is about health care protection and being there when people need it. So with this plan, you know, you've got all these financial deals going on that really truly benefit you. But if you do get sick, this plan also really provides really good coverage. I mean, there's no copay. You pay nothing for your preventative care. That's for medical, dental, and vision. So you don't even need the separate dental and vision care here. We're going to cover your exams and your cleanings for the dentist at 100%. Now, the high deductible health care aspect of this is what scares people off. That deductible is $1,500 single and $3,000 family. But remember, the plan is depositing in your account half of that deductible, $750 single and $1,500 family. So right there, that deductible is cut in half and people don't even realize it. So if they don't get sick and don't need to reach their deductible, the money's staying with them and accumulating year after year. But let's say you do get sick next year and after you enroll in this plan, you pay the $1,500 deductible, you use the $750 that we put in to help minimize the damage. After that, the plan pays one of the highest co-insurances available in FEHBP, which is 90% for all in-network care. So it really is. I get so excited about it that it's, you know, I just can't believe I just can't believe we don't have more than 40,000 enrollees in this plan. It is, you know,
if I were an employee still, and particularly younger employee where I could start building up these health savings account, I'd be in one, no question about it. It's an opportunity that too many people miss.
So a retiree can't do this?
Well, they can, but once you become – correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. Once you take Medicare at 65 and you're going to at least take Part A because you've already paid for that in payroll taxes and that's free and no premium on that, you're ineligible for a health savings account.
Okay.
So I'm past 65, so I couldn't be in one. But my wife, who's also retired, is not 65, and so I guess she could be in one, yeah.
Okay. Anything more on that, Tom? Because it got your juices going.
It's just it really is worth looking at, and the plan's available nationwide coverage is nationwide, if not worldwide.
Okay, and we're at 202-465-3080, 202-465-3080. And certainly if you have a question on what we were just talking about, these health savings accounts, we call it alphabet soup when we first started doing this. It's confusing, but I think it scares people off initially by its name, but they should not be.
Can I bring it back to basics here for a second, though?
Basics,
So there are a lot of employees in the Washington, D.C. area who are going to see a significant increase in their health plan. There are a couple of plans that have employee contribution increases of greater than 20%, some greater than 35%, and that's going to impact roughly 150,000 people in this area.
How about outside D.C.?
D.C., there's a lot of plans that have, you know, significant increases that you really should take a look at, because if you don't switch plans and you realize in your first paycheck of 2014 that your deduction is a lot greater than what you thought it would be, you know, you're stuck and you cannot switch plans until the next open season. So it's important that you look at the options that are available to you. Like I said, we have, you know, four, and in most places three, but in a lot of places four unique plan options that are available at relatively low employee contribution costs. We have a plan. Our basic HMO plan provides real high benefit levels with predictable costs. So we were talking about the consumer who does not want to be engaged, the one that just wants to go to the doctor and know exactly how much they're going to have to fork over without having to worry about anything else. Our basic open access HMO plan provides preventative care at no copay, primary care at a $20 copay, but you don't have to go to your primary care physician. If you want to go directly to a specialist, you can go to a specialist without referrals. None of our plans require referrals. And you can go to that specialist for a $35 copay. Our prescription drug plans associated with this are strict copay based plans, 10 generic and 35 brand name.
Okay. How about those that are not in the U.S.? They're outside the U.S. I would imagine every agency has people outside the U.S. Are they covered under Aetna?
Yeah, their coverage is worldwide. Urgent and emergency care. If you're traveling overseas and it's season, you need coverage. There are also some plans that specialize in providing care and coverage for folks who are stationed overseas for long durations. And one that comes to mind is the Foreign Service Benefit Plan. That's a closed plan, but folks who are likely to be stationed overseas, like State Department, Defense Department employees, have that plan available to them.
And the intelligence community has got a fair number of people offshore. And yes. Okay. Just a question. You mentioned earlier, right at the top of this show, you had something called, is it called the value plan? It's kind of like the value meal. What's the value plan? I don't remember whether you said it was a new plan with you all or you did say it and it just struck a note. Well, I wonder how that works.
Yeah, it doesn't come with a toy,
okay.
But it comes with incentive credits that I was talking about earlier that can help reduce the deductible amount that you pay. It was first introduced this year, 2013. It's being expanded to the rest of the country in 2014. Very easy to understand benefits with a reasonable deductible, followed by traditional 80-20 cost sharing. Plan pays 80%, employee pays 20%. Like I noted, the incentive credits are available up to $200 per single and $400 per family. So you get credits for things like flu tests, blood pressure tests for metabolic screening. So these wellness credits can add up to $200 and $400, which reduces your deductible amount. The deductible associated with this plan is $600 single, 1,200 family, but those credits can reduce that deductible to 400 and 800. Very simple, you know, vanilla plan, you know, 80-20, reasonable deductible, incentive credits associated with it. You have Aetna's largest network of providers available throughout the country at very low and affordable monthly premium costs. Okay. You can get more information on this through our website at www.aetnafeds.com or by calling 877-459-6604.
Okay. There was another one. To be frank, I don't think we spent a lot. An HMO, open access HMO. How does that work?
Okay, that's the one where I was citing that a lot of plans, you know, 150,000 employees in this area, you're going to see a lot of increases. Well, those are HMO members. HMO, and in our case, our open access HMO has very low employee contributions. It's an easy to use plan with very predictable costs. It provides richer benefits like co-payments for doctor's visits, 100% preventative care, and dental and vision built in. There are no deductibles associated with that plan, and there's no referral required to see specialists. So as long as you stay within Aetna's panel of physicians and hospitals within our network, you know exactly what your costs are going to be, and you know you don't have to worry about your savings account or your coinsurance share or things like that.
Okay. And so, for those that don't know, a health maintenance HMO is you go to, if you will, Aetna's or whatever the company might be.
Yeah, ours is different than most in that you do not have to select a primary care physician, and you do not need referrals from that primary care physician to access specialists. Yeah. That's the name Open Access.
And that's a good deal. Both those features.
Okay. And we're heading, we have about 6 minutes left. So
just a quick word about the website and some of the tools that are available to federal employees on our website. There's a ton of tools there that can really help folks drill down and understand a lot of the features associated with our plan. Visitors into that www.aetnafeds.com simply enter their zip code, and all the plans and prices available to them will come right up so that it's customized for their specific area and will help them figure out what is a good fit for them. Visitors to that site are also able to test drive some of the tools available to them, like Aetna Navigator, which is our secure member website, or DocFind, which is the portal to figure out whether or not your doctor is in or is not in our network.
Chances are he or she is.
Chances are the majority of providers do participate.
That's what I found over the years, that usually your doctor is in whatever network you need to have him or her in.
And as John noted earlier, OPMs, opm.gov/insure provides some good plan comparison tools to help consumers figure out which plans are available to them in their particular zip code and which might provide the benefits that they're most interested in receiving.
Okay, and how about in whatever the plan might be, gym memberships, weight loss programs, smoking cessation plans? I mean, you all offer those?
Yeah, we have a ton of perks that are associated with all of our plan options, including dental and vision. So if you're a member of any of those plans, the perks such as discounts on prescription eyewear, exams, contact lenses, even LASIK surgery, chiropractor discounts, vitamins and supplements, weight loss programs, a whole host of those types of perks are available to any Aetna member by virtue of having the card.
Great. And gym memberships, it'd be like any gym, or do you? I'm not pushing gyms here, but
We contract with a network of fitness clubs with nearly 10,000 available nationwide.
Okay, that's really what I was driving at. Okay, so we've covered a lot of points, and we have a few minutes left here. Final thoughts, comments, guys?
Yeah, there's one thing that I wanted to point out. Aetna is also the administrator of a plan called the Mail Handlers Benefit Plan. That is a plan that is available. It's an open plan available to all federal employees as well as retirees. That plan provides a really unique incentive for retirees who are on Medicare. So, John, this might be of interest to you. I don't know if you're eligible for federal benefits or not, but
I am.
But a lot of plans, including this one, waive deductible and co-payments when Medicare is primary to their benefits. This includes this mail handler's benefit plan. But we also have a neat feature in addition to waiving deductibles and co-payments. It's called a Part B savings program, which is available to Medicare-eligible retirees on the standard or the higher mail handler's benefit plan option, which reimburses enrollees and their spouses for the Part B premium of nearly $105 in 2013.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
And John, on the retiree side, what do you look for when you look at these programs?
Well, I look for cost, as that's the first thing. You know, I want to pay as little as possible. I want to have adequate coverage. But if you're in relatively good health, even as a retiree, you can still pick a very low-cost plan, and that'll provide sufficient coverage.
Okay.
And then you've got the Medicare question. I know we're just about out of time, but for another show, you could do, should you or should you not take Part B?
And we actually have a Medicare expert coming in here in a week or two.
Yeah, and, of course, I had personal experiences of that. I didn't take Part B, but we don't have time enough to tell you why I didn't take Part B.
Okay, we'll take it that you took it.
I didn't take it.
The one thing, as you probably know, if you don't take Part B when you're first eligible, there's a penalty of 10% imposed every year.
Well aware of that.
All righty. Well, I think we better get off before Andrew cuts us off. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week, and have a good one. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.